A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin," he said, turning to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once in the sight of everyone, and went away. They were all astonished and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout this week, St. Mark has been helping us to recognize the authority with which Jesus speaks, the authority with which he teaches, the authority with which he casts out demons, the authority with which he works his great miracles, like the healing of the paralyzed man in today's gospel. And at the same time, almost in parallel, the letter to the Hebrews has been describing to us who the Word of God is and how we are supposed to respond to the Word of God. Notice I said who the Word of God is, not what the Word of God is. Because as the letter of the Hebrews begins, God the Father had once spoken through many words, but in the time of fulfillment, he has spoken to us through his Son. And yet, as the letter of the Hebrews continues today, we have this very challenging verse, talking about the Israelites in the desert who had heard God's word but responded to it with a hard heart, responded to it with stone, responded to it without loving it, maybe hearing it, maybe intellectually processing it, but never falling in love with it, never letting it occupy the core of their lives. The sacred author tells us today, "But the word that they heard did not profit them." Didn't make any difference. When they heard the word, or when we hear the word today, as I was mentioning yesterday morning, oftentimes we think of God's commands. But the word that the letter of the Hebrews is talking about is God's promises. "I will give you this land flowing with milk and honey." But then after the reconnaissance folks came back and they realized that they'd have to fight for it, and the Canaanites were big, and they were strong, and they looked healthy, and how are we going to do it? And God made them wander for 3.5 decades more in the desert until they were ready to enter, until those who had doubted, until those with stony hearts had died, so that those who would trust would be able to cross the Jordan into that land. But the question for us is, do we profit from the Word of God? And if so, what is that profit? Could we point to our spiritual bottom line of what we've received from the Word of God? If Jesus speaks with this much power in the gospel, do we really believe him and act on those words? Or do they remain just at the level of our ears, or at the level of intellectual comprehension, without descending into the core of who we are, especially what we love most and what we value and do. Yesterday's refrain was, if today you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your ears, not your mind, harden not your heart. And today's refrain was, don't forget the works of the Lord. If sometimes you have a little bit of doubt or questions about the power of the Word of God, like those in the house in Capernaum did before Jesus worked his great miracle, remember the works of the Lord. You know, there's that great psalm which the church prays first and third Sundays in the Liturgy of the Hours, talking about all the things the Lord did and describing after each of those great deeds, for his love endures forever. This was written for the Jews during the exile, asking so often as they would have, or maybe some of us might, if we were imprisoned in a faraway land, does the Lord still love us? Has his love endured? And they used to cite this psalm, which is the longest psalm of all, one right after the other. God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that. And after each one of those sentences, for his love endures forever. We're called never to forget the works of the Lord. I was given spiritual direction yesterday to a cloistered nun in New Jersey. She was going through a little bit of this same thing. And I gave her, for a penance, you can't hear a confession on Skype, so it wasn't really a penance, but as a spiritual director, I imposed on her to write her own psalm so that in the present circumstances, as she was beginning to feel a little bit overwhelmed by various little things, she would be able to remember that the same Lord who did all of that, not just in the history of the Jews, not just in the history of the church, not just in the history of her own religious community, but in her own life, continues to act. And that's why we should believe. And that's why we should trust with our hearts wide open to the Lord's changing us every time he speaks to us in sacred scripture and by his actions, like the action of the Eucharist. After the great miracle today of the paralyzed man's absolution, after the lesser miracle, as astounding as it was, of seeing this paralyzed man pick up his mat, part the crowd, and go home, all those who were there were astounded, saying, never, never have we seen anything like this. We have heard and will receive within us something far greater than happened in that house at Capernaum today here. Are we astounded? Are we astonished? Are we going to glorify the Lord? And are we truly going to profit from this the way the ancient Jews in the desert didn't, but the way God really wants us to today? May the Lord strengthen us, and may he strengthen, as we pray in this Mass for priestly vocations, all those whom he is calling to this great ministry in union with Christ the High Priest, that they might profit so much from the Word of God that in future priestly lives they might bear uncountable dividends.